it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, let's jump into some college football. See, I'm all messed up. It's the first Monday NFL action. Jared Payton, I think we switched times 17 times. I lost track, so he's later in the show. We're going to do some college football Monday morning market moves. We'll do the same thing in the NFL coming up also this hour. Sam, week three in the college football landscape is going to be probably better than what we saw. But I, you know, since we haven't had time to talk about it, before we jump into these market moves quickly on what we occurred, you talked about the games where you weren't happy with the results. Well, Oklahoma, we were happy. I didn't get during Case of the Mondays, get to it, but I'm already annoyed by one thing. I already know because, you know, we started to hear it before, but Florida Gator fans, like, the crying about the schedule is already there. I don't want to hear it. You lost to South Florida. You have these 15-yard penalties on the final drive of the game. You're spitting on opponents a la Jalen Carter for Thursday night football in that game. Like, I don't want to hear Billy Napier about how tough the schedule is coming up after losing to South Florida over the weekend. That's a game you had to have, and everybody's high on South Florida. You end up a loser. Yeah, now deal with LSU, Miami, Texas. Texas A&M all in a row. Later in the year, you got to go to Ole Miss. I can't wait. And I don't want to hear the crying about how tough the schedule is compared to everybody else in the SEC and everybody else in the country when you can't get the job done against USF.
As a huge favorite, too. That was 17.5 late in the week. And then by kickoff, we saw some 18.5 and 19. So Florida took money heading into kickoff and loses outright to USF. That's a very important game this week, USF-Miami. I want to talk about that one, but let's revisit the room real quick before I want to talk about two games that have already moved pretty nicely, and they involve marquee teams. So the room's number five pick, Texas, -36.5, loser. Michigan, +5.5, loser. Ole Miss, -9.5, loser because of a late field goal. And Lane Kiffin had a comment after. He said, sorry to all the gamblers out there. Ole Miss did not cover. That's 0 for 3. The number two pick in the room, Iowa State, -3.5. Cyclones win by 3, 0-4. And the number one pick in the room, Illinois, -2.5. And now I got the Cams boys and the Illini boys coming at me on X. Oh, what a good pick on Duke. All right, dude. Duke turned the ball over 4 times in high leverage situations. Jake's already got the mic ready to go. Go ahead, Jake. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
I feel great. I mean, as somebody that was watching it from the comfort of a groomsman suite, brag. But, yeah, I mean, like, but even as that game was happening, I was thinking of Sam the whole time. Like, ugly interception by Duke. Like, just horrendous turnovers. And you guys are chirping me in the group chat, too, during this whole thing. And, yeah, I mean, I'm glad they won, obviously, but they got so lucky. That was so ugly.
Yeah, I mean, by Saturday morning, they ended up having the most money on it, too, which is amazing. So we always bring the context when we see these plays that are really popular. Like, well, okay, keep in mind, in the back of your mind, that that state is legal, that state is legal, and that state is legal. So, of course, those rabid fan bases, they're going to have a lot of bets on their teams. Like, we see it all the time with the Michigan teams, you know, with the Boston area teams, Chicago teams. But here's the thing for those of you outside of Illinois. You can't bet on Illinois. If you live on Illinois, you can't bet on the Illinois games in the app. So this is nationwide. This isn't just local fan base backs local team. That they're just going to, oh, it's Illinois there, so they're going to bet on it. That's not what's happening here. This is outside of Illinois, even more so, back in the Illini and looking at them as, Sam, a top 10 team.
Let's give them credit for going into Duke and winning by 26 points. I mean, that's a great win for Brett Bielema. I just think you have to look at how that game unfolded. Duke is up 3-0, and Duke is dominating the line of scrimmage. And then Illinois punts the ball to Duke, and the guy muffs a punt inside his own 20. Illinois pounces on it, scores a touchdown, and then never relinquished the lead. And Mensa threw a bad pick in the end zone. They had another fumble. Look, you can't say Illinois got lucky because they, well, I mean, you could say that. But they dominated that second half. Is it weird to say, though, if you gave me 3 points with Duke again tomorrow, I would make that bet? Like, I had somebody, oh, the line should have been 6. No, it shouldn't have. It was 14-13 at half. And Illinois was being outgained by 100 yards. Just one of those weird results. Yeah. But now, as we turn the page, Illinois, week number 3, opened 27.5 at home against Western Michigan. And you would think this would be a flat spot because you just went to Duke. And then next week, you got to take on Indiana. We have the Betsweats Bowl. Hassan, Gurch, Illinois, Indiana. The market has already blown Illinois right through the 28. 28's a big number in college football. Mm-hmm. 14, 21, 28, 27.5. Now we're 28.5. So far, the market not scared of the letdown spot for Illinois.
Yeah, I already took Illinois with a couple of my survivor spots. They to win, that's what we're looking at. Yeah, it's probably going to happen. And this is part of the reason that people are high on Illinois. You've got the experience under center, a lot of players coming back. People are buying into Bielema. Schedule, very advantageous. Can you get through Duke? Okay, that was going to be one of the more challenging games. They do that on the road. Now they've got another cupcake. Not as easy as week one when it was Western Illinois, but they've got another cupcake here at home, which they should take care of. A lot of the tough teams, they are missing in conference as we figure that out. Maybe USC is going to be a lot tougher than people were projecting before the season started. If you look at some of the metrics, they would say, oh, yeah, they're real. So we're getting some good games here, though. Where do you want to start? Clemson, Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I marked 2 this morning that have already moved against very, very good teams. Mm-hmm. And even though the perception is down on Clemson, that's still a very, very good team. I'm sorry. Are they a great team? No. Still very, very good, even though they struggled with Troy and lost week one. So Circa opened Clemson as a 6-point favorite, -6 at Georgia Tech. That number now is 4.5 at BetMGM and 4 across Vegas. Huge move on the dog. And Haynes King, a little banged up at quarterback for Georgia Tech. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to play, and clearly the market thinks he's going to, but he took a shot in that game in week number 2. That has not stopped the money from coming in early on Georgia Tech. So Clemson from -6 to -4, support early for the Jackets. And then the market is also supporting Tennessee. 131, 132. Georgia opened -6 at Tennessee. The game is in Knoxville. 4 and 4.5. So big support early for both dogs. Georgia Tech at home, Tennessee at home.
Okay. You know, Clemson unimpressive in both games to start the year, and now you got to go on the road. So unimpressive at home in the first 2 weeks. I understand the buy on Georgia Tech. That makes a lot of sense to me. There's a lot of directions to go here. You mentioned the Tennessee one, so some dog love there. All right, what about, let's go LSU Florida, because now you've got, man, that's an opponent I don't want. Okay, Florida coming off an awful loss. Are we going to get them any fight? Are you going to stop your head coach from getting fired in season? It opened 9.5, and the market for the most part is 9.5. There are some 8.5s out there, which is a little surprising that people are willing to jump in on Florida. It's rivalry matchup. We've seen it a million times. Tough place to play under the lights. Sam, it would be very difficult for me to line up and take the Gators. How about you?
I did laugh because I saw as you were bringing the game up, you had a little side tongue action there. I thought you were going to say you liked Florida, but then you stopped yourself short.
No.
Can't get there? Can't take the points? No? Okay.
You're going to.
No, I mean, I'm intrigued, and we have seen that come in towards Florida a bit. This opened 9.5, and now we're 8.5. BetMGM's still giving you the 9.5, but Superbook, Circa, Chris, all 8.5, Pinnacle 9. So early support for Florida. I think you'll see it north of 7, but then you'll also see some big support for LSU. I mean, LSU is going to be a huge money line parlay play, a huge college football survivor play. When you start talking about firing the coach after week 2, that's baked into the line. And it makes the other team just a little bit more expensive, which then in turn gives other people perceived value on the team that team is facing. So,
yep.
I understand the support for Florida. I didn't check my numbers yet on the game. I can get that to you in a couple minutes here. But I would expect you see early money on Florida and then late money on LSU as we get closer to kickoff.
I love this headline in The Athletic. In relation to the Florida Gators. Headline, for Billy Napier at Florida, bull spit is latest in unacceptable string of defeats. Bull spit. That's
bull
good.
Spit.
Yes, I like it. Speaking of them, what are we doing in this game? Move on Miami. The market is saying, all right, enough is enough. That was a nice win to open the season against Boise State. People weren't sure what to expect without Genty. Good job. Oh, you went to Florida and you won? They helped you out a little bit, but hey, got to give you credit, right? South Florida 2-0. Now they go to Miami. Things are getting real now. What are you going to do against the Canes? Well, the market says this is when you're brought back down to earth. They are betting Miami early. I'm curious if this gets to 17. We're sitting 16.5 right now on Monday morning after opening at 15, Sammy.
That is big respect for the favorite in the game. Understand that. I'm actually lower than market. I'm 14.5.
Whew.
Now, to open 15, I mean, it opened right there. But, again, these are bets. These moves on Sunday night, Monday morning are from respected players. These are not public pushes. The public is still figuring out what to do on Monday Night Football and what it's going to parlay tonight and who it's going to score the first touchdown with. That's what the public's doing today. Respected play is betting these college numbers. Even though the limits are low, they're getting good numbers. And that came in on Miami. They laid 15 and 15.5 and 16. Now, there would be resistance, you would think, on South Florida if it were to get to 17. The number feels a little high, but understand that is the books respecting Miami big time in this spot. They know that South Florida is going to get money. By the time we get to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to put USF in their slips. The books are well aware of that. And the books are looking at the early bets on Miami from respected players and saying, oh, we better move this because we don't want to write big limit bets on Miami. We'd rather write those smaller bets at the right number, get to the right market price, and then raise the limit. So that's all that's happening there. You have respected players on the Canes, and they were happy to lay the 15, 15.5, 16.
People are going to bet South Florida money line. They're going to throw it in parlays. They can't. I was getting the slips on Saturday morning, and I was laughing at them, and then they were chirping me later on in the day. I'm like, all right. They're going to do it again. They're going to go back to the window and do it again. So I understand the love for Miami, even though you're saying, according to your numbers, that's a bit off. What if they did it again? I know this is out to 3 score. If they do it again, like, look at that schedule. Where are the losses? I don't know where they are.
Miami has struggled. And Mario defenses have struggled against mobile quarterbacks. And that's Byron Brown. That's what USF does. He does it all. He can run. He can throw. He can throw on the run. These are those big games where people love to bet against Mario. They also did it against Notre Dame. Didn't quite work out. But I think you're onto it for sure.
Joe, are you saying playoff? Let's assume they lose. I mean,
how do they lose?
One loss, are they in the conversation?
That's what I'm wondering. They're popular already. Two games and they're popular. And I don't if
they're
you,
a good team.
If they hang,
a lot of guys that have been there for a while, 3 years with a head coach, like a lot of returning production and starters. They've hung with these big teams before for a while.
Another big game this week, Notre Dame. They're a 6.5-point favorite against Texas A&M. Let's look at the Monday morning market moves on the NFL side of things next. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday Moon's coming up in 20 minutes. Monday morning market moves in the NFL right now. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, Sam on X at SB Shoot. I'm there at Joe Ostrowski. Show account bet_sweats. We'll talk more Monday Night Football, top of the hour. Jared Payton, Bears analyst, will drop by. We'll tell you how to bet this game. Sammy, before we dive into week two in the NFL, crazy. We've got a lot of numbers already on the move. You would only tell me that you have some breaking news. I'm like, oh, what is it? What did I miss? Like, secret. So what's the secret?
The secret is if you bet Jake Hassan no -110 to show up to the Bet Sweats party, you have a great number because the no is now -10,000. Yeah, confirmed. He will not be in attendance today. So if you bet no -110, you got a great number.
And is there a reason he's willing to disclose publicly or no?
Well, I was never going to make the tailgate anyway, just because of my schedule.
Your work on the flagship.
Yes, of course. My shackles to the flagship,
if you
will.
The more important job of yours.
No. No, never said that, never will. Anyway, point being, so there was discussion a couple weeks ago of meeting Sam and them at the bar after, and if this was a normal weekend, I totally would have made it, but as you can tell from my voice, my body is in shambles coming off this wedding. Like, I cannot be around people right now. Like, I need to be alone.
What's the reason Jake's not here? He says he can't be around people. Yes.
I am in shambles. Somebody put something in the 18 beers, 7 drunk cigs, 8 shots, and 5 mixed drinks I had.
Yeah, that was the issue. Somebody putting something in it, not you consuming it. Yes, very good.
Correct.
All right. So then there were 3, Gurch, Paul, and Sam.
Well, Kate Constable could be my proxy.
And then there were 3.
Monstable. Dropping like flies.
Oh, she's out too?
Joe,
no, she's coming.
No.
But she said she's got to behave. Everybody's dropping. Even Mario dropped out.
Mario? Who's that?
Kind of forget Mario.
The latest BetMGM Tonight casualty?
I'm getting a bunch of DMs, though. Where's the tailgate at? You're invited to the tailgate. I just don't want to give the address on the national Bet Sweats radio feed.
Why not?
You would.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. I just don't feel like doing that.
I would be there if I could. Jake never had any intention of going.
That is not true. Disagree. Strong disagree.
So now we have 2 people to FaceTime, Paul, Joe, and Jake.
I will not be picking up.
Yes.
FaceTime. Do not call me.
I will pick up from the volleyball stands with the other parents. Yes. Or during softball.
I'm going to sound like a total boomer. You can FaceTime multiple people at once, right?
You can FaceTime right in the group chat.
I don't.
So
we hit the video button in the Ramly thread.
Yep.
Okay. Ramly.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. That's all. Big news. Jake not coming to the Bet Sweats party. That's all.
He's out. This is -10,000.
Changed.
Was even money basically a bad number? Maybe.
Yeah, it was a bad number by me.
Jake's history.
a terrible market price, but that's my fault, and I will learn from this.
Okay, very good. That was the breaking news, and we are seeing movement. You know, compared to college, the morning after, you're not going to see multiple points. Not at this time. Maybe later on, but you do see half point, 1 point. And one thing that certainly jumped out to me, Sam, they won, but in my world, they did not win. In the Joe O standings, they're 0-1 in the NFL. The Bengals won, but that was another terrible start by a Zach Taylor team, by a Joe Burrow team. They beat the Browns yesterday, hung on barely. They did not cover the number. They won. Burrow, 113 yards. Ja'Marr Chase, 2 catches for 26 yards. The Browns had twice as many first downs as the Bengals. The problem was the ball was bouncing around, and Joe Flacco ends up with a couple of picks. That ends up being the difference in the game. Myles Garrett was a beast, man. He looked great. When the Browns are big dogs, I can see myself backing that dog.
Well, the dog is getting backed here, Joe. Superbook opened all the NFL lines last night, Sunday night. They opened Cincinnati as a 6-point favorite.
Whoa.
Six. And the market is now 3.5. So a huge, huge push on the Jacksonville Jags from +6 to +3.5.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that was immediate, because last night our buddy Jeff Sherman tweeted out, when he tweeted out, it was already down to 4.5. So that was an immediate move, because you know this, they post it and then he'll tweet it out shortly after, but not too long. So it was like they saw that 6 and they took it.
Yep. Actually, you know what? The odd screen is a little wonky today. So the look ahead number was 6. My apologies. The look ahead that came out the day before was 6. When they reopened yesterday, they opened 4.5. So that's my apology there. The look ahead number, though, was 6. The reopen number was 4.5. But still, we were talking about a number where Cincinnati was a 6-point favorite 5 days ago. And then you had the week one results. They opened 4.5, and now we're still coming in on Jacksonville. So that makes sense. Look, Liam Cohen got the game ball. You had the owner in the locker room handing them the ball. They were all celebrating. They look good. There was another sharp team from the summer. We heard a lot about the Giants and a lot about the Panthers.
Oh,
egg. Panthers. Egg. Dead.
Yep. Before we move on to some of these other games, Jacksonville +3.5 right now. So this is the number we're working with. Question is, are you going to lose that 3.5? Is it going to go to 3? Is the move over? I know I'm going to be on Jacksonville. I will be on Jacksonville in this game. I don't know if you're there with me, but now I'm thinking, okay, are we going to get some buyback on the favorite at all? Or is this thing going to a field goal? And then you lose that hook.
Chris is at 3. Big offshore shop. Big market moving book. They are at 3.
It's going
so
to
I think you may want to take some 3.5. I mean, you'd rather have the 3.5 than the 3.
Of course.
And if Chris is at 3, that's pretty telling. Now, there may be some people that want to come in and whack the Bengals at -3. Always possible. But this will probably close. I'm going to guess 3.5 is a really good closing number guess. How about the Miami Dolphins being favored at home against New England? So this opened, I want to make sure I get this right, because again, the screen's a little wonky this morning, on the 7th of September at 6 o'clock p.m. local time, they opened Miami -2 against New England. Game is in Miami. Okay. How about 1.5-1 right now? So even though the Patriots lost and I thought looked pretty bad, the market's still moving against Miami after an awful 33-8 loss to Indy.
Whew. Taking a look at Sunday's forecast, sunny, 85 degrees in Miami. So those early in the year, correct me if I'm wrong, you would probably know better. Patriots don't bode well in Miami, right, on the road. They're used to the cooler temps. Most of those players, even though they're younger, going on the road, playing at 85, they're going to be on the bad side. They're going to be on the sunny sideline, which always pissed Belichick off. Boy, I don't know, man. Like, you look at that Miami performance. So what are we going to get now? What do you think? Is it going to be a bounce back? Are they going to show some life, some pride, or is it just going to be a lost season? That's basically the argument you're having in this game.
I did not like what I saw from the Patriots. I am not excited about betting them, especially on the road. So I might find myself buying that Miami dip. This number in the summer is Miami 3. When they did the look-ahead lines for the entire season, Miami's 3. And now you're Miami 1, 1.5. I don't necessarily like Miami big picture, but they still have the talent, I would think, at receiver to make this New England defense sweat. I mean, Christian Gonzalez not being out there for New England was a huge deal. Huge deal. Sure. And you know that Vegas game might have been uglier if Brock Bowers didn't get hurt. Now, Bowers is going to be fine, or so they say, but Bowers only played in like 33 snaps. So a lot of that damage was done without Brock Bowers. Waddle did get banged up for Miami yesterday. That's something to pay attention to. We'll see. We'll check the injury report. But early in the game, early in the week, the market is moving against Miami. That's not surprising given how they performed in week one.
Okay. Let's get some moves here. And these are not massive moves, but it's coming off of key numbers. So it's certainly worth talking about. San Francisco reopens -7 at New Orleans. New Orleans, remember yesterday, they lose by 7 at home. They're home once again. This number came down. So a little bit of action on New Orleans here, not on San Francisco. The market is 6.5. I see a juiced 5.5 at a very public shop for some reason. Look, I mean, San Francisco, that game came down to the very end against Seattle, but the Niners dominated. They outgained them by 154 yards. Darnold with 150 passing yards, Sam, and almost all of them go to the number one receiver. I find that interesting that they're backing New Orleans in this spot.
Paul's guy, Smith and Jigba, had a monster game, including a huge catch in that fourth quarter to set up what could have been a game-winning drive, but Darnold had the fumble. JSN was great, and the targets were there. I saw the route tree. I think it was Bill Barnwell put the route tree, and he was all over the field. For any bet against San Francisco, it just feels injury-related because we know McCaffrey played hurt. Kittle got hurt in the game. Jennings got hurt in the game. Juwan Jennings. So RB1 is dinged up. Tight end 1 is hurt, and receiver 1 is hurt. It doesn't feel like that support for Spencer Rattler. It's more of a short of San Francisco's health. That's how it feels for me.
Okay. CMC, the guy that's always hurt, 31 touches yesterday. Everything had to go through him. Everything. Run game, passing game, everything was CMC. Here's another reaction to what we saw yesterday. They are betting the Colts. Is it betting the Colts, fading the Broncos? You decide. But now we have the Broncos as a road favorite, Sam. They looked awful at home to start the season. Now they're laying 2.5 in Indy. Okay. That came down. It opened Denver, reopened Denver -3. Now we're Denver -2.5. Probably a little bit of column A and column B here.
A little bit of both. I wonder who Paul Aspen's on in this game. Paul, are you laying 2.5 with Denver on the road?
You're doing Daniel Jones?
I like the Colts a lot more when I saw 3.5 yesterday. But no, I will not be laying 2.5 with Denver.
I didn't think
Definitely
you would.
Not.
He's out on Denver. I love him taking a stance, though, early.
The orange Kool-Aid, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's based on a guy that won a Super Bowl 15 years ago. And again, the mid quarterback. The defense might be able to take them, but like the idea that they're going to upset the Chiefs or be like a dark horse AFC championship.
No.
Who has a better quarterback?
No, I know. I know. Which team has a better quarterback in this game?
Indy.
Can I take Anthony Richardson?
No, you don't want to.
How about Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan or those other cast offs that all came into Indy at the end of their careers?
Oh, Matt Ryan's a Philly boy. Give me Matty Ice.
Based on what I saw, Daniel Jones right now is a lot better, at least in week one. Not even close.
Daniel Jones against that defense is terrifying, I will say.
Yes,
Yes. It is, but they ran the ball a lot yesterday. They opened everything up with the ground game, and that's how the Colts are built. Run the ball first, and that opens everything up. They had 156 yards on the ground. And then when you can run the ball, safeties come down, and it makes it much easier to throw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume they can't do that against Denver, unfortunately. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, big difference. So that's why they're a short favorite. It's going to be interesting to see where that number goes throughout the week. Game of the week, we can't ignore it. Don't see much movement in the market so far, but we've got to talk about Kansas City opening in Brazil with a loss. Philadelphia closer than expected, but they win with they get the win at home. Extra rest here, long travel for KC after the Friday game. Philly is a 1-point favorite. Now, 1 point at BetMGM. In Arrowhead, the Chiefs trying to avoid an 0-2 start.
I think these defenses are better than both offenses. That might be crazy to say.
No, it's not.
Jalen Carter gonna play? Is he playing in this one after Spitgate?
I think so.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Additional suspension.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
I don't think he's out. So if he's in, obviously that changes the entire defense for Philly. At the point of attack, I like the under in the game. I think that's going to go down throughout the week.
All right. We'll, of course, continue to dissect this one. Top of the hour, Jared Payton will drop by to break down Bears, Vikings, betting angles. But next, another new segment, Monday Moons. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My Disney World? Like, I feel like I'm one of those rides. All right, we're going to go to the moon. That was awesome.
Space Mountain. We're here at Space Mountain.
Was there Chewbacca in there?
Oh, yeah. Chewbacca, JFK, Gracie.
Gracie Moon. Oh, no. I thought about her earlier this morning. You know, her Chiefs going out on Friday. I wonder if she called that one. Probably not. Man, welcome to Monday Moons. Okay. So here's the idea. Tell me if I'm wrong. You could probably explain it better, Sammy, but we're going to be positive for once. A lot of times we bitch, complain. We have case of the Mondays. That's kind of what we do. It's hard not to after a full day of Sunday action, NFL action, same with college, but we're positive. We're handing out moons, right, to everyone that was successful over the weekend, maybe not the most obvious people.
I think we should start by giving Josh Allen a full moon. How do you not start with Sunday night's performance in that fourth quarter to get three touchdowns, two on the ground, one in the air? Team is down 15. Live number, 11-12-1, even higher later in the game in the final minute or two. We're talking about a 30-1 live money line on Buffalo or higher. The MVP was the MVP. And there were so many people on social media saying, oh, the participation MVP last year. No, that's the best player in football. And that's why they're my Super Bowl pick. Imagine what will happen when they actually get healthy in the secondary. As Buffalo was playing down two cornerbacks. Two. When they start to get healthy on that side of the ball, the defense will be a lot more formidable. But the easy full moon for me is Josh Allen with an unbelievable fourth quarter and an incredible win for my champion, the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, so I want to give a half moon to one of his teammates, one of his running mates on that offense, not going Josh Allen because I kept thinking, man, if this is a sign of things to come, if he has a number one guy on the outside, this Bills offense is probably going to reach another level. And I'm talking about Keon Coleman. This is what they were waiting for last year. He had one game all of last year where he had double-digit targets, and it was the last game of the year against New England. Game number one of the season against that tough Ravens defense, he has, 11 targets in that game? 112 yards, a very important touchdown. In the playoffs, Sam, 12, 5, and 5 yards, a complete non-factor. But if Keon Coleman starts to come into his own, and it's not just Shakir out of the slot most of the time, like he has other options. Kincaid looked good when he was going to the tight end. Collinsworth couldn't stop talking about how great Kincaid looks when healthy. Like, look at all these options that this Bills offense has. Maybe there is room for them to grow.
I think there is. And once they figure out the rhythm with the balance on offense, they're going to be insanely tough to beat. And now you have a Baltimore team that has another example of a game they dominated, a game they were in total control of, and you come out with an L. They should have beat Buffalo in the playoffs last year. Should have beat Buffalo last night. How do you go 0-2 in those games? Mathematically improbable, one would say. Forget losing both, losing one. But they lose both. That Baltimore team has a lot to prove to me. And you and I discussed, I have Baltimore as the highest power-rated team. They are. That is the best roster in football. But a lot of things go against them late in games, and that's on the quarterback and on the head coach.
Yep. A lot of people do. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you on that. Maybe they would now. Maybe they would this morning. We'll see how people adjust their numbers after what we saw last night. Before we go to the fellas, anything else you want to throw out there? Any other moons you want to hand out?
I was going to give a full moon to this guy, but it has to be Josh Allen. So let me go half moon.
Okay.
To a guy who got me home. To a guy who planted that black and silver flag in the heart of Foxborough. Throwing for 362 yards on the road yesterday, including a crucial across-his-body, Mahomes-esque fourth-down laser to the middle of the field to basically seal the game, to complete the Pete Carroll revenge game and wave the Mike Vrabel wand off to the side. Geno Smith gets a half
yes
from Sammy P.
There you go. Good one. I like that. Watch out for them next week. Watch out. Let's see what happens with Brock Bowers, because he exited that game. But, man, he had a connection immediately. There was no growing pains, anything like that. Moving up and down the field, Geno, very impressive. All of a sudden, the Raiders have a quarterback. All right. Because they didn't win, I'm going to give a crescent moon. But it's got to I got to give some sort of a moon to a guy that I questioned. There was a little bit of hype in the offseason, and I think in week one, he exceeded expectations. Crescent moon to former Bear, former Steeler. Let's go Justin Fields. You know, he's going very high in drafts, but keep in mind that matchup yesterday in a loss. I should have stuck with my gut. My gut was telling me take Jets plus three. Why is that number three? Just take the Jets plus three. Nobody giving them a chance. They're going to be awful again this year. And, oh, you know, Tomlin, they're going to be great. And they got Rodgers now. Well, why is the number three? I should have just taken that home dog. I did not. They cover. They do not win. So that's why he gets the crescent moon. But Justin Fields steps in. New team. Three touchdowns. A couple on the ground. He had a connection with his number one receiver. Their top running back got involved as well. Like, man. That's a Steelers defense, Sam. Maybe this Jets offense has something going. I'm not expecting them to, of course, score 30-plus every single week, but this is an offense that we would laugh at, that could do nothing week after week. Maybe with that dimension of using his legs, the Jets might be able to put something together here and be a team that maybe you don't want to fade.
That was one of two games that went over yesterday. And I know somebody who was holding a ticket, believe it or not, holding a ticket on Pittsburgh, New York to be the highest scoring game of the weekend.
Whoa.
Really good bet at 40-1.
Oh.
And then Buffalo Baltimore happened.
Damn.
I know.
Like, what do you do?
You tip your cap.
What do you
do there? That game had the lowest total. And Nick and I were talking about this yesterday. Sharps were shoving the under. It got down to 37. 37. Steelers get 34, Jets get 32. If you had that bet, 40-1, highest scoring game Sunday, you feel really good about that heading into Sunday night. And then you get the Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen show.
All right, let's get everybody involved here. Paul Aspen, do you have a moon?
So I've got a few. I got to go. Is a crescent moon a waxing gibbous? Either way, it's the quarter moon. I'm going to give
that
to Marvin.
There's a waning. There's a waxing crescent. I don't know the differences. I saw that this morning. But, yeah, go ahead.
The crescent what was the line in Angels in the Outfield? Look, it's God's thumbnail. That's a crescent moon.
All right, I'll give God's thumbnail to Marvin Harrison Jr. Solid performance. One deep shot, 71 yards, over 70 yards on the touchdown. So a decent start for the kid. I'll go half moon to my guy. I didn't have any bets on him because I usually don't when he does well. JSN with a big day, 9 for 124, 13 targets. I mean, that Sam Darnold just might lock in on him all year. And then Sam praised the Lord earlier for his Broncos getting through. I've got to pay tribute to Buddha. Buddha Baker with the all-time pass breakup when the Saints throw it in the end zone. They had the tying touchdown, and he broke it up at the last second. So I was heavily leveraged on Arizona for Survivor. I'd say 90% of my entries. So full moon to Buddha Baker.
All right, Jake. Moon?
I won't belabor the point on the Raiders, but that was one for me as well. Half moon to the Baylor Bears. Had them on the money line. That was quite the sweat on Saturday morning in the Groomsman Suite again. And full moon to my ex-girlfriend's father, who thankfully extricated me from a conversation after she cornered me to tell me how much I ruined her life 5 years ago at the reception. That was really fun. Had a great time. Also, honorable mention full moon to Sam, who just started ripping gummy bears about an hour ago for his breakfast and asked me if I wanted any.
That was a very loaded moon list.
You're welcome.
Can we go back to the ex-girlfriend's father cornering
you? Yeah, there's you're going to go and sandwich this thing with something else. Like, we're going to move on.
She cornered me legitimately. I was walking to the bar to get a drink, legitimately pulled me out of line and goes, "Were you going to say hi to me today?" And I was like, at some point, probably not this early before I had multiple drinks. And then proceeded to ramble on about how much I ruined her life when I broke up with her 5 years ago, to the point that then her dad had to come over and say, "Hey, why don't we let Jake go back to the wedding?" That was really fun.
That's
He did me a solid. Choke slamming you. Yeah.
No, he did me a solid. That was I very much appreciate it.
He gets full moon, she gets no moon.
Correct.
That's anti moon.
Yes.
Was it Madison?
No. This was pre-knowing any of you people, thankfully.
Is Gertz jumping in for a moon?
I don't know.
I wasn't sure either. Okay, he does not have a moon.
No.
All right. Very good.
His moon is Indiana. His moon is always Indiana covering.
He's very nervous already. Very nervous.
Gertz already excited for 10 toes down moon.
He did tell us during the break he can't wait for Thursday for 10 toes down.
Yeah, like he was giddy about it. He's already ready to go. We're ready to go for Monday Night Football. Bears and Vikings. Our buddy Jared Payton is going to drop by next. We'll help you with some betting angles and what the hell is going to happen in this matchup. A lot of unknowns. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, right here on the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.